Walk into the innovation hangars at Oshkosh this week, and you'll see the future arguing with itself over here. An electric motor spinning a prop on a test stand. Whisper quiet. Over there, a cutaway of a battery pack the size of a coffee table, and tucked in among them, if you know what you're looking at, a silver tank wrapped in insulation, holding something that isn't a battery at all. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct. Today we're going to talk about the propulsion idea that keeps showing up at the edges of every clean flight conversation, the one people either love or roll their eyes at. Hydrogen. Let's break this down. Because here's the thing about AirVenture. For 70-some years, Whitman Field has been the place where aviation's next chapter gets uncrated. Not the boardroom. Not the trade show floor in some convention center here. On the grass in the hangars in front of 500,000 people who will walk right up to a demonstrator and ask the engineer standing next to it a hard question. Oshkosh is where the experimental category lives, and experimental is exactly where a technology like hydrogen has to prove itself before it ever earns a type certificate. So let's give it a real look. Honest, pros and cons, no hype. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a milestone worth remembering, or somebody in your life who just hit one, that's AviationSoul.com. Okay, what is hydrogen propulsion actually? Because it's not one thing, it's two, and the difference matters. The first path is the hydrogen fuel cell. A fuel cell takes hydrogen, combines it with oxygen from the air, and instead of burning it, it runs a controlled electrochemical reaction. Out one side comes electricity, out the other side comes water. That's it. Water vapor. The electricity spins an electric motor, and that motor turns a propeller, exactly like a battery electric airplane. The difference is where the energy comes from. A battery stores electrons, a fuel cell makes them on the fly from a tank of gas. The second path is much more familiar. You just burn the hydrogen in a turbine or a piston engine. The same way you'd burn Jet A or Avgas, hydrogen combustion. Fewer moving parts to reinvent, but you're back to dealing with combustion byproducts. And we'll get to that. Most of the serious clean sheet work right now is on the fuel cell side. So that's where I want to spend our time. Now here's what most people miss. The reason anyone is chasing hydrogen at all comes down to a single stubborn number that we've talked about on this show before. Energy density. A modern lithium battery pack, all in, gives you somewhere around 250 watt-hours per kilogram. That is the wall. That's why the electric airplanes flying today are trainers and short-hop demonstrators, not regional airliners. The battery is just too heavy for the energy it holds. Now compare. Jet fuel carries roughly 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That's why we still fly on it. It's an astonishing energy store, and nothing has come close. Hydrogen, by weight. Hydrogen holds about 33,000 watt-hours per kilogram, almost three times the energy of jet fuel, pound for pound, and more than 100 times what the best battery can do. The data tells an interesting story right there. If you only cared about weight, hydrogen would win before the conversation even started. But you don't only care about weight, you care about volume. And this is where hydrogen turns from a dream into an engineering problem. Hydrogen is the lightest element in the universe. It's almost nothing. Which means to carry a useful amount of it, you have to either squeeze it or freeze it. And both of those cost you. Squeeze it. And you're storing gas at 350, sometimes 700 times atmospheric pressure, in heavy, thick-walled tanks. Freeze it, and you're chilling it down to liquid at about minus 253 degrees Celsius. That is colder than almost anything else humans routinely handle. You need cryogenic tanks, insulation, and systems to manage the fact that the stuff is constantly trying to boil back into a gas. So the beautiful feather-light fuel comes wrapped in tanks and plumbing that are anything but light. Here's the honest way to say it. Hydrogen solves your energy-by-weight problem and hands you an energy-by-volume problem in return. The airplane has to change shape to carry it. You can't just pour it into the wing tanks where the Jet A used to go. That is the central trade of the whole idea. Everything else is a footnote to that trade. Let's talk about why it matters to us anyway and who's actually building it. The most grounded work in this space has been retrofit. Take an airplane that already flies, pull the engines, and put a hydrogen electric powertrain in their place. A company called ZeroAvia has been doing exactly this. A few years back, they flew a Dornier 228, a 19-seat twin, with one of its two engines replaced by a hydrogen fuel cell powertrain driving the prop. one side burning kerosene, the other side making its own electricity from hydrogen in the same airplane in the air. That flight got a lot of attention, and it should have. It was a real demonstration, not a rendering. Their target is the regional workhorse. 19-seat commuters first, then something in the 40-plus seat class as the fuel cells scale up in power. That's a smart place to aim. Short routes, small airplanes, airports, where you might actually be able to install hydrogen fueling without rebuilding the entire national fuel supply on day one. Now balance, because I promised you balance. Not everyone chasing this made it. A company called Universal Hydrogen had a genuinely clever idea. Instead of piping hydrogen around airports, they'd ship it in modular capsules you could load into the airplane like a giant battery pack, swap the empties for fulls, and truck the empties back to be refilled. They flew a converted Dash 8 testbed, and then a little over a year ago, they ran out of runway financially and wound down operations. Good idea, real flying hardware, and it still couldn't outpace the money it took to get to market. That's not a knock on hydrogen. That's a lesson about how brutal the timeline is. And it's not just the startups. Airbus, which had loudly promised a hydrogen-powered commercial airliner, its Zero-E program, flying by the middle of the next decade, publicly pumped the brakes on that timeline early last year. They didn't kill the research, but they were honest that the hydrogen ecosystem, the fuel supply, the airport infrastructure, the certification path, is moving slower than the airframe engineering. When the largest plane maker on Earth tells you the hard part isn't the airplane, it's everything around the airplane, you listen. So here are the real pros, laid out plainly. Fuel cells produce water and no carbon. If, and this is a big if, the hydrogen itself is made cleanly, using renewable electricity to split water, what they call green hydrogen, then you have a genuinely low-carbon flight. The powertrain is electric, so it's quiet. And electric motors are simple and reliable compared to a turbine. And unlike a battery airplane, refueling can be fast. You fill a tank. You don't wait for electrons to crawl back into a pack. And now the real cons with no sugar on them. 1. The tanks and cryogenic systems are heavy and bulky, and they eat into the cabin and the range you were hoping to gain. 2. Most hydrogen made in the world today is not green. It's made from natural gas, and that process emits carbon. So the clean airplane is only as clean as its fuel supply, and that supply mostly doesn't exist yet at aviation scale. 3. Infrastructure. There is no hydrogen pipeline pulling up to your local FBO. Building fueling at even a handful of regional airports is a serious capital project. 4. Even the clean version isn't perfectly clean up high. Burn hydrogen in a turbine and you still make nitrogen oxides and water vapor at altitude, and water vapor up there means contrails, which have their own warming effect. The fuel cell path avoids the nitrogen oxides, which is a real point in its favor, but the contrail question doesn't fully disappear. None of these are reasons to give up. They're reasons to be precise about the timeline, and the honest timeline looks like this. Small retrofit airplanes and demonstrators through the rest of this decade. Regional commuter service, maybe if the money and the fuel supply cooperate sometime in the next. A clean-sheet hydrogen airliner carrying you and me across the country. That's a next decade at the earliest conversation, and anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something. So why does any of this belong at Oshkosh? Because this is precisely how air venture has always worked. The experimental category exists so that ideas can fly before they're certified. Home builders proved composite airframes out here, decades before the certified world trusted them. Glass cockpits, electronic ignition, ballistic parachutes, whole categories of technology got their public reps on this flight line in front of people willing to kick the tires and ask the awkward question. Hydrogen is walking that exact same path right now. The demonstrators, the cutaway tanks, the engineer standing next to the test stand answering questions from a farmer and an airline captain and a curious 14-year-old, all in the same line. That's the pipeline. That's how a wild idea earns its way toward a real airplane. Here's what I keep coming back to. The future of flight almost certainly isn't one technology winning. It's a split batteries for the trainers and the short hops, where their weight is manageable, sustainable liquid fuels for the long-haul jets we already own, because you can pour them into the airplanes flying today, and hydrogen sitting in the middle, fighting for the regional space. The 19 and 40 seat routes where batteries are too heavy and burning kerosene feels increasingly hard to justify. Whether hydrogen wins that middle ground is genuinely undecided. But standing in the innovation hangars this week, watching the arguments play out on test stands 10 feet apart, It's hard not to feel like we're looking at the messy, honest, unfinished front edge of the whole thing. My thanks to the reporting from the Aviation Press covering ZeroAvia, Universal Hydrogen, and Airbus, and to the propulsion engineers who put their hardware and their timelines out in the open where the rest of us can question them. That openness is the whole point. You can find more at RadioHangar.com. And if you're at Oshkosh this week, go find the quiet corner of the Innovation Hangar where somebody's standing next to a fuel cell. Ask the hard question. That's what this place is for. I'm Vector. Fly safe, and keep thinking about how it works.